Karen Greenberg is co-editor of The Torture Papers, The Road to Abu Ghraib. The hefty book is actually a collection of government memos between the White House and Departments of Defense, Justice, and State from September 2001 through March 2004. As the title suggests, Greenberg does see a link between government memos written for the war in Afghanistan and what happened 2 years later at Abu Ghraib.
What happened is that there are a series of techniques that are laid out through the course of these documents and reports, and that those techniques turn up being used inside Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib.
Can you give me an example?
The humiliation of the prisoners with treatment that was designed to humiliate Muslim men, whether it's wearing underwear on their heads or the more egregious sexual abuse and sexual behavior. The use of techniques such as waterboarding that is similar across both prisons. The link is that the United States decided as a matter of policy to step away from the protection of the rights of prisoners of war, and that once it had done that, the rights of these prisoners were not protected, and they were treated in a way systematically that abused them physically and psychologically.
Would you say when it was a confused message, people didn't understand they weren't supposed to do this?
But the only thing that was confused was that there was confused at times of which actually interrogation manual was going to be used. But there was no confusion, it doesn't seem, that they were frustrated in their ability to get the kind of information they needed to be able to say, look, we're making progress in the war on terror. And as a result, they put more and more pressure on those who were interrogating to use whatever means they needed to use, justified by the ends of protecting the United States.
But people in the administration say that, look, what happened at Abu Ghraib was beyond all of these memos. It was beyond even the loosest interpretation of what you could do in an interrogation, that this was never something that was intended to come out of any of these policy memos.
What they say is that these are rotten apples that commandeered themselves to do this. To say that they didn't tell them that they had to make piles of naked bodies and take pictures of them, that may be accurate. But to say that they said you need to do what it takes to get information out of these people, and that means to break them down, is also accurate. And that seems to be what happened.
What do you see as the value of publishing all these memos? This is over 1,000 pages of memos here in your book.
Initially, I thought, you know, this is a story that we just don't know. We have to put it together. Once we see it in a broader context, people will say, you know, this isn't such a good idea. We didn't mean to be doing this. We were reacting to 9/11 in a way that was understandable, even if it was overreacting. But in fact, very different things have happened. For one thing, although the administration has stepped away from supporting torture and says that the Bush administration in no way wants to condone torture, those who wrote the policies are being promoted. Those who were pivotal to the discussions are being promoted, Gonzalez being the most obvious.
Alberto Gonzalez, who's now the Attorney General.
Exactly. So what's actually happened is that the memos have done two things. They've articulated the fact that there was a very lengthy discussion of when, why, and how to use torture and what that would mean in terms of a domestic and international legal context. But the other thing it's done is to it hasn't rallied any kind of opposition, and it hasn't really become a public debate. Instead, it served as a record that people are saying, okay, but we need to do this. And I think that's the more interesting point to me and in some ways the more disappointing.
Karen Greenberg is the co-editor of The Torture Papers, The Road to Abu Ghraib, and of a forthcoming book of essays, The Torture Debate in America. She's also executive director of the Center on Law and Security at the New York University School of Law. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Many of the memos in Greenberg's collection were written by John Yoo. He was in the Office of Legal Counsel at the Justice Department during the first Bush administration and was a key architect of the policies toward foreign detainees.
Well, the first thing that people had to figure out was what was the status of al-Qaeda and Taliban detainees who were captured. And there was a basic immediate question to that, which was what was the kind of condition in which they could be held. So if the al-Qaeda and Taliban detainees were prisoners of war under the Geneva Convention, which is a very specific legal standard, they would have had to been held in open barracks, whereas if they were not found to be POWs, then they could be held in individualized cells. And I think this was thought to be important because members of al-Qaeda in particular expressed a strong desire to try to kill anybody they could lay their hands on, certainly not just the guards, but probably also anyone amongst their own number they thought might cooperate with the government or might be answering questions or providing information. So that's really how it first came up.
And you helped determine that essentially the Geneva Conventions would not apply in these cases. I mean, to whom specifically was that stipulation meant for?
Well, the Defense Department asked because they're the ones who actually were capturing the detainees. So with regard to Al-Qaeda, the Justice Department found that the Geneva Conventions just did not apply. And the reasoning was very straightforward. The Geneva Conventions are a treaty. Treaties are signed between nations. Al-Qaeda is not a nation, nor did Al-Qaeda ever sign the Geneva Conventions or ever say it would. The question with the Taliban was different because the Taliban was sort of the de facto government in Afghanistan, so the Geneva Conventions applied. But even if the Geneva Conventions apply, you don't automatically get prisoner of war status if you fail to conduct yourself according to the laws of war. And the president found that on the facts of the fighting in Afghanistan that the Taliban did not meet the criteria.
2 years later, the United States is occupying Iraq and the Abu Ghraib photos are released, and it's a huge scandal. Many people start drawing an implicit line from some of the memos that you helped write that said the Geneva Conventions did not apply toward Al-Qaeda and that somehow that, they claim, laid the groundwork for the abuses that we saw at Abu Ghraib. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, the conflict with Iraq is clearly covered by the Geneva Conventions. The president and the military, I think, declared that at the beginning, if not before, at the beginning of the conflict. So the question of whether our war with Al-Qaeda, which is a different war, legally a different war, is governed by the Geneva Conventions, is wholly separate from the question of whether prisoners of war get certain treatment in Iraq and whether we violated those standards. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that, you know, according to all the different commission reports and so on that we've seen so far, what happened in Abu Ghraib had no relation with the United States was doing with regard to Al-Qaeda, that there wasn't any kind of orders given, certainly no legal memos provided, no instructions or authorization for anyone to do anything of the kind that was seen in Abu Ghraib. The pictures are terrible, and what was happening there was terrible, but it wasn't ordered by anybody. It wasn't part of any kind of plan. It was people going beyond their legal orders, and the Geneva Conventions did apply in Iraq to Iraqi POWs, and those established very clear guidelines about how people are supposed to be treated, and the people who committed the abuses of Abu Ghraib clearly violated those rules.
You say that legal thinking was never meant to apply to Iraq, and yet President Bush calls Iraq the central front in the war on terror. Would you concede confusion is possible? I mean, poll after poll shows that a lot of people think that Iraq was involved in 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, I think look, you know, we have a military justice system, investigatory systems looking into this, right? And so far, I don't think we have prisoner guards or intelligence officers at Abu Ghraib or in Iraq saying, look, I thought I could do this because this is really part of the war on terrorism, not the war in Iraq. I think there's a difference between sort of grand strategy and discrete conflicts. So you could say that, you know, the war in Iraq and the war on against Al-Qaeda are linked because there's a grand strategy with the Bush administration to create change in the Middle East that would reduce terrorism. But that doesn't mean they're the same conflicts. Just as in the Cold War, you know, we had a grand strategy of containment against the Soviet Union. That wouldn't mean the Korean War and the Vietnam War were the same war. They were just different conflicts that were pursuing the same strategy. And I think that's how I would think of the Iraq and the Afghanistan and the and Al-Qaeda conflicts.
John Yoo was in the Justice Department during the first Bush administration and now teaches law at the University of California at Berkeley. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
You can explore NPR's extensive coverage of the Abu Ghraib scandal, including key documents, by visiting our website, npr.org.